Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. My guests today, and they are going to be epic, on the Goodyear Hotline, James Brown, as we were not able to get JB when we did Legendary Voices Week, but you couldn't do that without him. So he's going to be along in 15 minutes, go through all the NFL and March Madness action. Diana Rossini today, my old buddy Stink, Mark Schlereth today. The list is March Madness related. We got a lot going on. Here we go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
I think that he should go to a place where he's backing up a quarterback with a similar skill set. I think the perfect place for him would be Buffalo. That was me the other day telling you where Mitchell Trubisky should go next, and that is exactly where he wound up yesterday. I could have sworn someone said it, and of course it was me. Mitchell Trubisky signing with the Bills. You're saying to me, Greeny, that's where you begin? Of all the things that have happened, of all the wheeling, of all the dealing, of all the moves, you're starting with Mitchell Trubisky? You're darn right I am, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the Buffalo Bills have suddenly somehow managed to become the team that just gets everything right. This is the team that for the longest time got absolutely everything wrong. And now they're getting everything right. And the best example of that is Josh Allen. They drafted a quarterback who was almost identical to Mitchell Trubisky coming out of college. He had more experience, but the skill sets were basically the same. Big, strong, can run, has a big arm, but needs to be developed as a passer. And look what the Bills have done with Josh Allen. And look what the Bears didn't do with Mitchell Trubisky. And that is why I said the other day, Trubisky needs to go to Buffalo, where he will be in an offense that he's comfortable with. He can learn how to take that next step and have a chance at resurrecting his career. The Bills can do that. And he has a similar enough skill set to what Josh Allen has that if, God forbid, Allen goes down with a bad injury, you got a fighting chance. You run the same offense and you keep it going. That's the Buffalo Bills making a move that just makes all the sense in the world. I wanted to mention that because you look at football. I've always said the best coaches, when you watch them in games, it's not that they make moves that you agree with or disagree with. Every coach will do things you agree with or you disagree with. The bad coaches are the ones that make a move and you look at it and you say, that makes no sense. There's no sense in that. There's no way to explain logically why that was the right thing to do. You can agree sometimes, disagree sometimes, but everything makes some level of sense. The Bills are the team who are making sense right now as much as anybody. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Time now for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Carson Wentz, the man with the most pressure on him of any person in the National Football League going into next season, spoke yesterday for the first time as the quarterback of the Colts about the way it ended for him as the quarterback of the Eagles.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It wasn't fun. You know, it's not fun when, you know, things were going so well for years and, you know, all those things. And, you know, as a man, you have to look yourself in the mirror and you know, learn from it and become a better man, better player, all of those things. And I'm not going to lie. It wasn't fun. It was difficult. But I did everything I could to still be supportive of Jalen and my teammates.
Okay. So forget about him being supportive of Jalen and his teammates, and let's not quibble over whether we agree with that or not. It was a healthy scratch at the end. Let's not quibble over that part. It was the first 19 seconds of those 23 that matter. This is an extremely valuable lesson. Everyone gather around. When things go wrong in your life, and the way things ended in Philadelphia was a colossal failure on the part of so many people that there is ample blame to go around. Here's the lesson. People who are not going to succeed greatly in life figure out how everyone else got it wrong. And the people who are successes in life, the people who do succeed, figure out how they got it wrong. And that is what Carson Wentz needs to do. He said it a little, but it doesn't really matter if he says it or not. He has to internalize it. Does he feel like he got screwed in Philly? Probably. Does he think a bunch of stuff happened that wasn't his fault and wasn't his responsibility and he doesn't take? Probably. And there's probably a lot of truth to that. Again, when things go as colossally wrong as they went for him in Philadelphia, there is more than enough blame to go around. But he will not get any better if he tries to figure out what Doug Peterson got wrong, what Jeff Lurie got wrong, what Howie Roseman got wrong, what anyone else got wrong, the fans, the media, anyone. You get better by saying, what did I get wrong? What could I have done differently? What could I have done better? And if he does that, then he has a chance to succeed at Indianapolis. And so I hope he does. Saying it is irrelevant. If he hadn't said it, it wouldn't matter. Having said it doesn't matter. Because that has to be internalized. You have to genuinely believe it. I've had that experience in my life, and I think all successful people have. Things go wrong. You can't ever get everything right until you have gotten it at least a little bit wrong first. So the question is, when things go wrong, do you blame everybody else, or do you figure out what part of it you got wrong? That's what Carson Wentz has to do. And if he does, I think he has a great chance to succeed. Things could not be set up better for him. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And then, of course, there is the Russell Wilson of it all. The Russell Wilson of it all remains, in my view, by far the most interesting and important piece of the NFL offseason. Remember when Aaron Rodgers said his future was a beautiful mystery? What was that, about 2-3 months ago? At some point. Rodgers said his future is a beautiful mystery. His boss, Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, came out like a day later and said, quote, we're not idiots. He's not going anywhere. I've been quite critical of the leadership of Green Bay, but boy, that was a smart thing to do. That was the right thing to do. Contrast that, juxtapose that with this silence coming out of Seattle. They are putting out a message as well with that silence. And that message is, Russell is available. If he wasn't, we'd have heard it by now. Compare what they did with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay to what they're not doing with Seattle and Russell. So, what places make sense? I'll tell you a place that makes some sense. I'll tell you a team that should be moving heaven and earth to get Russell Wilson. I know the Bears wanted it. I know they went hard after it. I know their fans already had ordered jerseys. But the reality is everyone is saying what Seattle needs in return is a plan at quarterback. They need either a player or a draft pick that turns into their next quarterback. And the Bears don't have either of those things to offer. And not only because I'm a fan, but the reality is the New York Jets do. The Jets have that solution twice. If Pete Carroll and his USC background and everything else, if they decide they love Sam Darnold, go at it. The Jets can trade them Sam Darnold and a bunch of other stuff. If they don't like Sam Darnold, the Jets have the second pick in the draft. That equals Zach Wilson or Justin Fields if you prefer him or anyone else you want. That's 5 years of a quarterback on a rookie contract. The Seahawks had a quarterback on a rookie contract recently. His name was Russell Wilson, and they went to 2 Super Bowls and won one of them and were a yard away from winning the other. They haven't been back since. So maybe that's what they want. If they do, that's what they should do. The Jets have more to offer the Seahawks than any other team. The question is, does Russell want it? I have to believe the Jets would want it. I have to believe the Jets would be willing to trade the second pick in the draft and or Sam Darnold. Let's say the second pick in the draft, plus a bunch of other picks. They have Seattle's first rounder this year. They could just give that one back. 23 overall, and whatever else they want. It's something that I think should not be discounted. I'm not telling you I think it's going to happen. I'm telling you I think it could. And if you listen to Shefty on my TV show, every day this week, I call myself the Shefty Whisperer. I get him to say things he doesn't want to say. He has made it clear. The possibility of Russell Wilson being traded before the draft is real. Look for teams that can answer their quarterback question. The two that jump immediately to mind are the Jets and the Dolphins. Neither of them were on Russell's list. Would he be willing to go to one of those two places? I have a feeling you're going to find out. James Brown is coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all of this. The list is March Madness. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Your phone calls, as always, on the way as well. I'm Greeny, and we're just getting started on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
We are back and better than ever. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jam-packed we will be today. The list is on the way in just a few minutes. It is March Madness themed. But speaking of themes, a couple of weeks ago we did a Legendary Voices, and we talked to a lot of the best-known people who have been broadcasting sports throughout all these many years, and we were not able to get in touch with this man, but we are delighted to bring him in. He is as preeminent as any sports announcer in recent generations, the face of CBS with the NFL and so much more. You know him as JB. James Brown is with me on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, James Brown.
Greeny, it is a blessing to be on your show. You've got me. I always say, and my daughter Katrina is going to hate this, I am too dark to blush, but I am blushing to be on your program. So thank you for having me, buddy. Absolutely. And my daughter, by the way, flat out loves you, follows you religiously. So I'm sorry she's not beside me to be my lifeline for whatever you might ask me.
Well, she has extraordinary taste, and I'm sure she is told that regularly, and I'm telling it to her now. I'm going to tell you something, JB, that you are not going to have known, and that is that I became accustomed to hearing your voice before so many other Americans became accustomed to hearing your voice. And the reason is, my first real big job in our business was I was one of the producers on a talk show in Chicago hosted by Dan Jiggets. And so it was my job regularly when you and Dan were working together back in, it's got to be almost 30 years ago now, when the two of you were doing football games together, both of you from Harvard, and were doing football games together. It was my job to call you up and book you for that show. And so that we go back beyond your knowledge all that time.
Greeny, that is dusting off some cobwebs. And speaking of my time with Dan Jiggets, not only did he cover for me in the first NFL game I ever did as a broadcast, and certainly you would recall this, I was working at CBS. Ted Shaker was the executive producer. I was a freelance extra announcer with CBS during a time that they had just gotten the NCAA tournament and started doing a number of other games. So Ted Shaker indicated, if you want to pursue this as a full-time career, you need to do a number of other sports. And I did it all, Mike, for sure. Including the first game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers were hosting the Atlanta Falcons. So many people have heard this story, but it's worth repeating. So my boss said, hey, just call a clean game. Don't get fancy. Look at the TV monitor and you'll see the accurate time. Don't look at the stadium clock. Mm-hmm. Greeny, I go through the first half and I'm thinking, football's not that difficult. Complacency set in. That is certainly going to be the opportunity to slip. Come the second half, Greeny, I said, okay, Steve DeBerg's a quarterback. He takes the handoff. He takes a snap. Delayed handoff to James Wilder, the running back. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. He's got daylight. He's at the 50. He's at the 55. Tackle finally at the 60-yard line. My producer got in my ear. Greeny, he said, JB, there's no such thing as a 60-yard line. Go to commercial. Now, Greeny, I'm shook up. I did not look at the TV monitor. I looked up at the stadium clock, boo-boo. I said, folks, we're going to step aside with about 8 minutes and 99 seconds left in the third period of play, and we'll be right back. Dan Jiggets covered for me, Greeny, because what he did When we came back, he said, folks, for those of you who heard JB say 8 minutes and 99 seconds, he just wanted to see if you could make the conversion to know that it was 9 minutes and 39 seconds left in the third period of play. That was my guy, Dan Jiggins. Absolutely.
I love that story. I had not heard that before. Greeny and JB, for those who, I don't know that everyone knows it because you've been so ubiquitous and our, on our televisions doing sports, all sorts of sports, including now primarily the NFL for so long, that you were a great basketball player in your day, a superstar in the Ivy League, and almost made it into the NBA and all of that. So that's where it all began for James Brown. Let's get to some football here, and then I want to hear some old stories. But the big thing that's going on now is Russell Wilson, who appears to want to be out. And all of the insiders that I talk to say that it is a real possibility that Russell Wilson is going to get traded. And while I sit and try and analyze all the different places, maybe we need to take a step back and just say, we live in a world where Russell Wilson might get traded, JB, if that's possible. The NFL is a different place than it has been in the last, basically in its entire history, right? This is a new NFL. This kind of thing would never have happened in the past.
And Greeny, being so much older than you, I certainly can remember back where players, once they were with a given team, they were there almost forever and a day. But obviously, Russell Wilson has that latitude in his contract, mutually agreed upon, that he would have the say in terms of if he's going to be traded, where he's going to go. And obviously, that's for a select few. Russell Wilson is one of the awesome faces of the NFL. To me, and I know I've used this word before, it would be a tectonic shift if he goes anyplace else. I don't understand all of the dynamics behind it, but it doesn't take a mental giant to realize that there are some rough waters there. But he is a class act. Talk about a man of character and integrity. I remember talking with Roger Goodell, the commissioner, about him, and his name brings a smile to everyone's face. But you know what? Those things happen in the world of employment. Clearly, in professional sports, I'm sitting around with bated breath to see exactly where he may wind up as well. And Greeny, I don't know that we can think of anybody else who's any better. Clearly, the name Drew Brees comes to mind, Larry Fitzgerald, who are as intimately involved with a community as Russell Wilson. So this would be a significant move, yes.
In every way, in all the ways you just said. And yes, I've never heard him speak a full sentence without saying the words "Go Hawks" in it. So he's always been so committed to the team. It is going to be a tectonic shift, not just there, but around a lot of other places in the sport. JB with me on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Let's have a moment from you, if I can, on Tom Brady. You mentioned that you started broadcasting games 30 years ago. He's been playing almost all of that time and yet still manages at the age of 43 to be where he is. And when you sort of sit back and take into account what he did this year, how he managed to do that this year, go down to Tampa with no real offseason, win the Super Bowl in his first season, how do you put it into perspective of all the things you've seen happen in football through your career?
First of all, when you talk about the longevity associated with my being blessed to call the NFL or do anything at the network level, it goes back to, actually, you're still in great tennis shape. That's what I understand is your sport. So I was in that kind of shape back in the day, Dan, that is. But you know what? Let me just say this. He is certainly the epitome of what it means, Greeny, to be totally involved, totally committed, setting the tone, recognizing, as the old expression in sports goes, that the best player on the team should be your hardest worker, one who's not afraid to take the criticism, whether it was from Bill Belichick or now, of course, Bruce Arians. He took it because he was a team leader. I remember talking with Ndamukong Suh on Inside the NFL this past season, and even a grizzled veteran like him said he got excited when Tom came to town because they recognized the pedigree that he was bringing there, but it was matched by his work ethic. So no one can begrudge the guy in terms of how passionate he is about the sport, the same kind of passion that he showed when he was, what, the sixth-round draft choice, was it, Greeny?
Yep.
Coming to New England and setting the tone. But he was also smart in terms of the team that he picked. Look, we all have focused on the offensive prowess that they finally gained after they were 7-5. But Greeny, look at that defense, how it also got charged up from his presence on the team as well. You didn't hear a peep out of anybody who was a so-called superstar. They were all looking to Tom Brady to get it done. And when they got over the hump, the rest was history. And look at what Todd Bowles did with that defense, which collectively could have been the MVP in the Super Bowl because they did not do the same thing they did the first time they faced Kansas City. And Patrick Mahomes was literally running for his life. But credit Brady for picking the right kind of team and showing us age is only a number. The kid is simply phenomenal, Greeny.
It is. It's funny. I mean, the kid is 43 years old and still doing it at that level. And it is beyond anything we've ever seen. And they've basically bringing the entire band back together again. So they feel like a pretty significant favorite going to next year. Greeny and the great James Brown is with me. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today. Find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Let me get a quick thought from you on the start of the NCAA tournament, which began with the first four last night, and now we go on into these games. And I still think of you with that. So when you look back over the many years, what is your, if I were to ask you, because I love the old broadcasting stories, like your greatest memory of all of that, of all these, the March Madness, I'm going to do a list here of my top five March Madness moments coming up in a little while. What's yours? If someone says, what's your number one memory for March Madness? What jumps to mind?
Wow, that's a great question. Hey, Greeny, I would think, even though clearly I was blessed to do sideline reporting in the NCAA when I went to CBS full-time, also doing play-by-play, hosting NBA championships and the like, my biggest and fondest memory of the NCAAs, and my folks and friends over at Georgetown will not appreciate this, but it was before I became a full-time contract player with CBS, and it was when Villanova hosted Georgetown in the NCAA title game. And of course, Georgetown was loaded, and most people were thinking that they were going to run roughshod over Villanova. Raleigh Massimino, who John Thompson, God bless him, simply loved. That was a stellar game. And you know, Greeny, we often talk about how the world of sports has such a tremendous impact in the game of life at large. And it goes to show, yes, you can talk about what a team might look like and what the competition looks like and who ought to win on paper, but the games aren't played on paper. And Villanova played the perfect game and shocking Georgetown to win that. Second might be when I was a sideline reporter covering the game when Syracuse lost to Indiana with 6 seconds still remaining on the clock. And I was a little surprised that they didn't run a play at that point in time. But that was a significant game. Pretty tough, of course, at that point, interviewing the losing coach. But those are some of the highs and lows associated with covering the NCAA tournament. Heavens, Duke beating the great UNLV team. I mean, Grandmama, Larry Johnson and the squads, they were loaded. But that's why you play the game.
I still can't believe that they lost that game. UNLV went into the tournament that year unbeaten, and I thought for sure they would beat everybody. The game you're talking about, Indiana-Syracuse 87, is the Keith Smart shot that wins it for Indiana. And then, of course, the first one that you mentioned there is the legend everyone knows when Villanova pitches the perfect game against Ewing and Georgetown. One more thing for you, JB, and I so appreciate all of the time. But as I was going through
I got to give you you are a walking lexicographer, thesaurus, encyclopedia. I mean, all of this is just written on the tablet of your heart. That's why I was asking my assistant and Josh, hey, what's Greeny going to talk about? Because he can talk about the breadth and scope of everything. Is he going to take me back to 1886? I just want to make sure I'm ready. Go ahead, Greeny.
1886, the Chicago White Stockings were very dangerous with
Greeny. Hey, baseball. First love, we'll talk about it later. My grandfather had a baseball team, wasn't officially in the Negro Leagues, but all the Negro League players came down through Hattiesburg, Mississippi to play against his appropriately named the Black Sox. And that's where I got to see some of the great players of all time, including when Henry Aaron came through there, Mudcat Jim, Mudcat Grant. And I know you cover all these things, but that will be a conversation for another day.
Whoa, well, let me quickly ask you, we just lost Hank Aaron, of course, just a few months ago, and one of the genuinely great, not only players, but people, and one of the most important people in the history of American sports in so many ways. Tell me that. You're saying that you saw him play when you were a little kid? I missed that.
My grandfather regaled me with stories of when Hank Aaron would come through there along with Jim Mudcat Grant, Cool Papa Bell, You name them. They all came through Hattiesburg to play, and it was not atypical for there to be doubleheader games played then, because certainly back in segregated America, that was one of the principal forms of entertainment for the fans then. He even told me about Satchel Paige and the hesitation pitch back then, Greeny, that folks just couldn't hit. And just to think, hey, Greeny, what was Satchel Paige? Was, I guess, he in his early 40s when he got to the major league, and they even outlawed the pitch then, and it wasn't as effective as it was early in those days. So that's why baseball was my first love. My folks thought that I was become a pitcher, and I played CYO baseball, Greeny, against some of my teammates. There's a blonde-haired kid named Steve Garrett who went on to play at North Carolina. He was a multi-sport star. Greeny, I gave up baseball because of this. In a practice, I'm standing there in the batter's box, and I know Steve, who's got an array of pitches. He went to play at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He threw this pitch. Greeny, I see it coming. I said, "Up, that's the curveball." Of course, it didn't take this long. Well, that curveball is going to break in about a nanosecond. You know what? That's a late-breaking curveball. What's going on here? I dropped into the dirt, and, of course, the ball at the last nanosecond went across the plate. Steerike. So I gave up baseball because I did not have the chutzpah, if you will, to stand in there at that time. That's when I picked up basketball as my love.
Probably wise. Greeny and the great JB. One last thing I wanted to ask you, because a little birdie whispered in my ear that you have a story I'm going to find fascinating that involves Len Bias, and I am dying to hear it.
You know what, Greeny, that was a tough story. This is when I was working with the local CBS affiliate, WUSA, and, of course, being a basketball star here in the area, blessed to be working on that station. And Larry Bird with the Celtics was so excited when the Celtics, drafted Len Bias. It was going to resurrect his career, his enthusiasm, more importantly, because Larry Bird was consistently a beast on the basketball floor. But the Celtics were thrilled. Red Auerbach, who was a friend who lived here in Washington, D.C., he was all excited when I got the early morning news and the call that Len Bias had passed from an overdose. First person I called was Red Auerbach. He always called me Brownie. And I said, hey, I still called him Coach. I said, Coach, I'm just calling to express my condolences. I'm so sorry to hear about Len Bias, as I'm sure you are. And Len Bias was a friend. And Red says, waking up with a groggy voice, Brownie, what are you talking about? I said, oh, Coach, you mean to tell me you don't know? He says, Brownie, what is it? And I told him what the situation was. And, of course, that was a very tough phone call. And it shook up the world for sure. But that was one of the, it's actually a low light, but certainly a significant milestone. And I got a chance to talk with Len's mom, Lanice Bias, and others. And, of course, his brother also passed not too long after that. But Mrs. Lanice Bias and the family, very, very strong folks. And I thank them for giving me access during that time to tell the tough story.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you broke the news to Auerbach that Len Bias had died. You know, let me just finish it by saying, we probably are talking to a large number of people who are not old enough to have seen Len Bias. People, Jay Billis tells me all the time, because he played against him, Len Bias would have been one of the three or four best players in the NBA for 10 years if he had not died before he ever got a chance to set foot on the court. Most people, I think, know the story of that tragic death. Tell people who don't know just how good a player he was going to be.
And again, you're right, Greeny, and you'll have to put some context for those who won't remember back then. But David Thompson, as you well recall, was just a phenomenal athlete in the ACC conference. And he and Len Bias used to have some flat-out wars. The nickname, and while it may not be very delicate, and you know how athletes, Greeny, give each other's names, they called him Horse, H-O-R-S-E, because he was as strong as a horse, could leap. He loved the crunch times. You could give him that ball in crunch time, and he would deliver usually with a thundering slam dunk. But he was flat out a phenomenal basketball player, and we couldn't wait, much less Larry Bird and the Celtics, for him to get to the NBA to see what he was going to do. But flat out one of the all-time greats ever in college, and I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to see what he would have been in the NBA, Greeny.
Now, tragic. I mean, died of an overdose right after the draft and never got the chance to play in the NBA at all. James Brown, what a pleasure this is. Thank you so much for taking all this time for me. The best wishes to your daughter with the excellent taste, and be well, best to your family, and I hope we get a chance to do this again soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, Greeny, to your wife, Stacy, and your two kids as well, too. Have a great day, buddy. Thanks so much for having me.
That's a pleasure. James Brown with me here on ESPN Radio. What a delight that was for me. Again, I started out in the business as a behind-the-scenes guy at a sports radio station in Chicago, The Score. And Dan Jiggets was one of the hosts on the station, very high-profile host. And he also worked. He was a football player at Harvard, played in the NFL for many years, and then was retired and was doing games with James Brown. And they were not super famous. They were not a high – they weren't like doing the games that Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are now doing. They were doing, you know, much lower profile games. But they were good friends, and so I would – it was be my job to call up James Brown and book him for the talk show and all that sort of stuff. And now here he is all these years later. What a plus. Bubba, are you trying to tell me something? I feel like you may be trying to say something in my ear. I'm not 100% sure. Okay, never mind then. So the answer is no, he is not. So the next order of business is your phone calls. My number is 888-SAY-ESPN. As we continue to work our way through all of the NFL action that is going on here this week, the sport is being reshaped. The question is, how are you feeling? Your team has been impacted by it one way or the other. Maybe things are going great. Maybe things are going terrible, but either way, no one is staying the same. So how are we feeling? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number. Your calls on your team right after this word from Straight Talk Wireless. Here's the Straight Talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune that out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Back with your calls next on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny, the podcast.
I'm Greeny. This is ESPN Radio. And my poll question today is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter is all about finding the right person to hire for your job. And so the question is about hiring. I posted it on Twitter. Which team has made the most impactful hires of this NFL offseason? And I gave you three choices: Patriots, Cardinals, and the Washington football team. And no surprise, the Patriots getting 45% of the vote on my Twitter page right now. They've certainly been the busiest and most active. But I think the moves that they've made in Washington, and I have made this point repeatedly on TV this week, I think they've been really good. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to surprise people with how well he's going to play there. He has just been better the last few years than the Fitztragic or the interception machine that he had been. He has not been that guy the last couple of years. He just hasn't. So I think that he's going to be good. Curtis Samuel, the combination of Samuel and McLaurin, they both run about a 4-3 40. They're going to be great. They have a good 1-2 punch in the backfield. Antonio Gibson is good. Washington is going to be the goods. They bring in a corner who's going to be great now with that pass rush, William Jackson. Watch Washington in that NFC East. I think they're going to win 10 games this year. So that's my poll question. You can cast your vote at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. It is brought to you, as always, by ZipRecruiter. Meanwhile, the next few minutes belong to you. My number is 888-SAY-ESPN, and I'd like to know how you're feeling about your team during this NFL free agent period. Here we go with Bubba. Bubba, who's first up?
First up, we have Cameron.
All right, Cameron, how are we feeling right now?
Actually, I'm a Giants fan, and feeling pretty good. We played a little high for Leonard Williams. I don't really know why, especially since I'm sure we could have gotten with at least a couple million less a year. But thinking, yeah, if we get a little bit more O-line help, a little bit of D-line help, I mean, we're looking at Kenny Galladay right now, so, I mean, can't complain.
If they get Galladay, then I think you'll be extremely excited, and the entire offseason will look totally different. If you get a guy who I think going into this period was the number one free agent wide receiver. Once they franchise-tagged Godwin in Tampa, then Galladay became the guy to get. And so if you get him, I think you're going to feel totally differently about it. And as far as Leonard Williams is concerned, listen, did you see the television deals that they signed yesterday? The salary cap is going to explode. I know it's going down for 1 year, this little dip, but then it's going way up. So what you consider to be a big contract is going to completely change. Your opinion of that is going to completely change in another year or two. It's not a bad deal, and he's a terrific player. So I think right now if you're a Giant fan, you should feel pretty good. Greeny on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Spencer's up.
Spencer, how are we feeling?
I am curious about what are we doing in Denver. We got all these quarterbacks in free agency, solid defense, and what is Elway doing?
Well, I do believe that there are going to be a lot of trades made in the first round of the draft. The first round is 6 weeks from last night. I believe a bunch of teams are going to trade up. I think you will see four quarterbacks go off the board in the first something like six picks. And the Broncos are a team that I think will be in that mix. I think the Broncos will be in the mix for one of those quarterbacks. And you could throw a dart and try and figure out which one they like. I can't tell you which one they like. But between Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, if they want to go all the way up that high, Trey Lance, maybe they like Mac Jones and they can sit where they are and take him. But having not gone in on any of these free agents or not gotten any of them, I think that feels like the likeliest possibility now as Denver makes an aggressive move for a quarterback in round one of the draft. They certainly have the receiving core to do it. We also know that there was a time when Deshaun Watson seemed interested in Denver. Now, that situation, which is just awful, what's going on right now in Houston, that the NFL is investigating that. And until that happens, until that is concluded, the idea that there's going to be a trade there, I think, seems almost impossible. It's so low on the list of things about that story that are important, I don't even like to talk about it. But that does not feel as though it's even on the table of things that could happen right now. So I think if Denver's going to get a quarterback, it's going to be in the draft. You're listening to Greeny on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Next up, we have Sam.
All right, Stan, how we feeling, Stan?
Sam, sorry.
Sam, how we feeling?
I'm feeling terrible. I'm a Saints fan, so who dat to who dat nation, Greeny? Yeah. A lot of things have gone on. We've lost a lot of players, mostly in depth, but I wanted to pose a question to you.
Yeah.
With Russell Wilson, he's the closest thing to Drew Brees. As far as a trade, Lattimore, Ramchek, a pick, Jameis Winston to Seattle. Does that get Russell to New Orleans?
I doubt it. No, I don't think so. I like the way you're thinking, but in order to make that work, what everyone has told me, Shefty and everyone else I ask, says they want a quarterback answer. Now, would they consider Jameis Winston on a one-year contract to be that? I don't know. I would be very surprised if that's what they chose. Because, again, this is not just about what Russell wants. It's about what the team wants or what they need to get in return. And I would be surprised if that's what they want. That said, Sam, I remain a Jameis Winston believer. And I think he could be real good in that offense this year. I think it is possible you will be very pleasantly surprised by how well Jameis plays. Now, he has proven me wrong a million times before. And maybe week one, you're seeing a pick six, you know, in the first quarter, and I'm dead wrong. That's certainly happened before. But I would not give up on the possibility he'll be good. Bubba, let me sneak in one more before the end of the hour. Go.
We got J-Ron.
All right, J-Ron, how we feeling?
Hey, how you doing? It's Javon. How you doing, Greeny?
Good. Thank you, my friend. How you feeling about your team?
All right. So I'm calling about the Bears today, and I've been analyzing this for a little while. I've just been thinking about that Deshaun Watson miss and as far as Patrick Mahomes miss. How long do you think it's going to be reeling the Bears for this for their team?
Yes, it ruined them. I mean, when you make mistakes that significant, it's terrible. Now, they're not the only team that passed on those guys, obviously. But they're the team that traded up in that draft to take another quarterback. But you have to forget that. Like, that's a sunken cost. It's over. It's like money you'll never get back again. Forget you ever had it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much you spent on something. Once you own it, it's yours. So the question is, what do you do with it? I think the way they have screwed up the Trubisky thing since that they made that pick is almost, well, it's not as bad as passing on those guys, but it's also terrible. Both those things can be true. So if you're in Chicago right now, you feel terrible, and frankly, I don't blame you. We will have Diana Russini joining me coming up, and the list today, March Madness, it is an awesome list. It's as good as I think we've done at all. I hope you're with me. Big hour on the way. Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can check out Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Also, don't miss Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 Eastern on ESPN. This is Greeny, the podcast.